real-time updates from NASREC.
702, live at ANC's 6th Annual National Policy Conference.
Let's walk the talk.
All right, so I've got Minister Ronald Lamola now, the Justice Minister, who actually chairs the Constitutional Amendment Subcommittee, right? Thank you so much for making time, Minister. How are you?
I'm very well, yourself?
I'm good. Well, you are well. Some of your workers as the ANC are not well. They still haven't been paid. How are you guys dealing with that?
Yeah, obviously, it is a concern to all of us as a collective of the National Executive Committee. But the National Treasurer is dealing with it. And I think he has given response to them when and how they are going to be paid. But indeed, it is a concern to all of us.
Is it really a struggle? Just as an NEC member, how difficult is it to try and raise funds so that you're able to pay for these salaries?
Yeah, obviously, it's not an easy thing, given the current prevailing environment on the state capture situation, including the new bill on the political party funding, which obviously has put a cap. So there's not a lot of resources through which to tap to enable us to respond to our day-to-day needs. But that as it may, is no excuse for us not paying our employees. Hence, we are concerned, all of us as a collective, and we're looking at ways to resolve that impasse.
One of the ways would have been to get the ministers or just the employees of the ANC in government to just donate 5% of their salaries or 10%. Why can't you guys do that?
You'll be surprised, Clement, that we do. We pay. Every month I pay about 7,000 rands, and all my colleagues do the same. I suspect, I'm not sure how much MPs pay, but it's not less than 5,000 rands. Councillors, everyone who's a deployee across the country, we pay. I don't know where it comes from that we don't. And even here, we pay. So
you could increase that by another 2,000.
No, but I mean, the point is that you said, why can't we pay? I've said we pay, but you also have to know that obviously we also have to ensure that whatever payment is within what we can be able to means and afford. And that is what we can when you look at our salaries. That 7 is almost at a very high percentage.
But then considering that you don't, you know, you've got cars, you've got a house paid by the state, so that takes away from that responsibility. And I hear you. You're already paying for that. In my mind, I always think, because especially the cabinet ministers, because your house is paid for, your car is paid for, your security is paid for, surely if you say for the 2 months, if we just increase what we pay to the party by 2,000 rand, that at least helps the party in paying and meeting its broader responsibilities.
I also don't know where the misconception that our houses are paid for by the state. We pay rent on those houses, both in Cape Town and in...
Yeah, but how much rent?
Yeah, it is about... It's a reasonable amount, which I think is at a very low cost. It's not even market-related, but we do pay rent. So if you can look at the amount we already pay for the rent for the house in Cape Town, for the house in Johannesburg, plus remembering that we also have an upkeep of two houses, the one in Cape Town and in Johannesburg, you will realize that in reality, what the president said, that we are also living at the very means which are not as what the public think it is.
Okay. All right, let's talk about just your role as the chair of the Subcommittee on Constitutional Amendment. What are some of the proposals in that discussion documents? And maybe let's start with the issue of land. There was a resolution in the previous elective conference that there must be a changing of the constitution to allow for land expropriation without compensation. You've tried as the ANC in parliament to negotiate with other parties so you can get a two-thirds majority and agree on the terms of that constitutional amendment. That hasn't really worked. What's the way forward?
No, there's no such resolution, Clement. It was not a national conference resolution, the amendment of the constitution. It was a decision of the NEC to say, for us to achieve the objective of expropriation without compensation, though it is expressly explicit that it could be done, there was that to clear the issue of uncertainty, let's amend the constitution. That was a decision of the NEC, taking it at a higher level above what the resolution had said, to say, for us to implement, this is how we must do it.
And what was the initial resolution?
The initial resolution is that the ANC must also use as one of its instruments expropriation without compensation. So the NEC said, for us to achieve this objective, we may need to make it explicitly in the constitution that you can expropriate without the compensation. And as you are aware, we did everything possible. Unfortunately, we could not agree with the party that almost sounded like we may find an agreement, the EFF, on, because as you are aware, the reasons were that we still believe in a mixture of land ownership in the country, where the state owns the land, where private individuals own the land, what is called title deeds, and also where there is communal ownership of the land, which is a mixture of land ownership and as per the Freedom Charter, that the people shall share in the country's ownership of the land, that the land must go to the people. So that is the view of the ANC, that the aim of land reform is not to take the land into the hands of the state, but is to give it to the people. Hence, when we give RDP houses, when we do land restitution and redistribution, we give people title so that they have got the security of tenure in the land that they own. So we cannot make South Africans more forms of insecure forms of land than they currently are. What we need to do is to strengthen their forms of tenure, to strengthen their security of tenure, because any move to just take all land to be in the hands of the state means that people in Soweto will now be back to where they were under apartheid. And they fought hard to have security of tenure in their houses. People in Soshanguve, people in Atrehill, in Umlazi, Ligazi, Sishihu, they fought to have title to their, then you take them back to be perpetual tenants of the state. So that one we could not really agree. So now we have got an expropriation bill which is now before parliament, and it's at an advanced stage of being passed, and I think that is the instrument through which we will now proceed.
So as the ANC government, do you think you sufficiently tested Section 25 of the Constitution to allow for that expropriation? I spoke to Mamulo Kukubai earlier, and she says that's what she's doing through her department over the last 6 months. But it's something that could have been tested much earlier, isn't it?
Yes, it could have been done much earlier.
But do you,
it has not been done. We have to do it. And I think the IMC on land reform has been very clear that where government departments have, and there are matters or parcels of land that they believe falls within the category, they must proceed in terms of the current laws.
One of the things that the provinces are talking about now is the issue of the step-aside resolution. And given the State Capture Commission's report and the 200 odd or so members that are said to be implicated, that step-aside rule is going to be quite central. What are your views on that? Do you think it needs to be tightened? It needs to be scrapped?
Yeah, obviously we need to strengthen it and enhance its working mechanism. Hence, it is obviously a view that it must come as part of the constitutional amendments because, as you are aware, it was a conference resolution. It needs to be strengthened. It needs to be enhanced so that its applicability is more clear. But, Clement, we should not lose sight of the fact that this rule was new to all of us. And it came as a conference resolution. As the NEC, we had to find ways to implement the conference resolutions, which we did through guidelines. And obviously, there has been trial and error in that implementation. And obviously, even in a country, you will never find a law that is ready for everything. You can't find a law for everything. That's why you will find courts operate with what is called precedents. It's because to close some of the gaps, to respond to challenges that will arise from time to time, then you will then have what is called precedents for reference in the future, despite the fact that there are statutes, there are legislation. So that is aimed to build and develop the law. So even with us, with the step aside, I think with all the rulings that came out from the Integrity Commission, the decisions of the NEC, we are now more wiser in terms of strengthening it and going forward in terms of its implementation.
And just lastly, do you think though, or do you even agree that ANC leaders need to also understand that they've got a moral and ethical duty and responsibility to also sometimes just step aside, and they don't have to wait for a party's principle or a party's policy that says and guides them on stepping aside? But, you know, when you're involved in controversy, you're involved in the serious allegations that may bring the party into disrepute, it's okay to take the decision, I'm stepping aside until I've sorted this out and I can come back. Do you agree that's the kind of leader you want in the ANC?
Yes, I mean, in the past, that's how it used to be, up until, you know, with the challenges of courts and all that. we had to develop rules and to put guidelines so that members can then, those who are unable to help themselves, the organization must help them. But it's true. It must start with myself as a member to protect the integrity of the organization. If myself I'm found wanting for anything, I don't think there will be a need for any resolution. I will just do it quietly and accept. And I think there are also comrades who have done so. With humility, they have accepted it. There is a lot of them across the country. And I think we should appreciate that. I will not want to mention names, but they are there. They have done it. And even in the past, there are members who did it, who were also leaders, who did it without being pushed by anyone. And some of them, after they've cleared their name, they dealt with their issues, they were re-elected. And I mean, even in football clubs, I mean, when there's an allegation, players, they just step aside, they come back. I mean, they know that they have to protect the integrity of the brand.
So don't you then ask yourself why President Cyril Ramaphosa is not stepping aside?
No, obviously there is a process. I mean, you can't just when someone wake up reports a case, then tomorrow morning you must step aside. There must be a process. And hence I say there has been processes that have been developed that everyone, when there is these allegations, there must be a process that they go through. And at some point they must be able to say, no, I think because of these findings, I agree, I must step aside. Or because I've been cleared, then I must proceed. But it can't be that just in the morning, even before you try to explain yourself, then you must step aside. There must be a process. And I think that process that has been established through the Integrity Committee, through the Rule 2570, is aimed to respond to that. But obviously, if the allegation is now at a level where it's clear and there is sufficient evidence, therefore, the members' confidence must cripple in.
Yeah, but the basis of moral and ethical leadership and responsibility is not to only be guided by, okay, you are charged, now step aside. Part of moral and ethical leadership is there are serious allegations against me. They're beginning to affect the functioning of the organization and how the organization is looked at. I will decide, even before I'm charged, to step aside, to allow processes to unfold. And when I'm cleared, I can come back. Surely he has that option.
Yes, yes. But remember, it can't be just when Clement, someone just says, he tells you, Clement, that I've opened a case against you at 7:02. Then tomorrow morning, you must resign or step aside. There must be a process. And there will be a point where you say, it looks like indeed there's sufficient views or evidence on this, therefore I must step aside. Or there will be a process where you say, no, but this is flimsy allegations. There's no basis for me to step aside. So it is not automatic that when there's a reporting, I mean, even myself, someone can just wake up tomorrow, and anyone, even yourself, any other person. So there must be prima facie kind of an issue which is warrant someone to step aside.
Yeah, and what we know is that there's a criminal case that's open. I mean, there could be issues around SARS as well and whether money was declared. And I think the problem here, Minister, and I'll let you go, I know I've taken you for so long. The problem is we don't even have really the answers. The president himself has not taken South Africans into his confidence.
So you want someone to step aside where yourself, you also don't know. And he also is not clear.
He's not telling us. He just tells us that, yes, there was a robbery. How much money was stolen? He says, okay, we're going to look at the invoices. They've been looking at invoices for what, 2 months now?
Yeah, but obviously, you know, there are processes that he's undergoing. He has subjected himself to the Integrity Committee of the ANC.
No, he hasn't.
Yes.
He hasn't appeared.
Yeah, but they have not called him, or they have not had the date.
No, he says they haven't been, their schedules are not meeting, which is what he told the public protector when he missed his deadline.
But he has subjected himself to that process. He's made himself available. He's also subjecting himself to the process of the police, which is if they want whatever answers from him, he will respond, including with the Office of the Public Protector. He has been cooperating. So that is accountability.
Thank you for making time. That's the Minister of Justice, Ronald Lamola. You can tell people who love Ramaphosa and those who don't. And you'll hear different sides, really, justifications and all.